What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on What's Trending, latest NFL news today. The Cowboys have fired their defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus. Of course, this is now the fourth defensive coordinator in the last, I think, four seasons or something like that for the Cowboys. So Brian Schottenheimer moving on from him. They were pitiful as a defensive unit. The Commanders
really
have parted ways with their offensive and defensive coordinator, but most notably, offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury. We were talking about that earlier today. We'll get back into it with Nate Taylor at 1 o'clock. Naturally, you speculate a little bit and wonder, would there be a possibility of Cliff coming to Kansas City as an OC? I think you and I both believe it's more likely somebody like Mike Kafka would come to Kansas City, but I would be intrigued by Cliff Kingsbury as the OC, the connection with Mahomes, the fact that he's not part of Andy's circle, the fact that he's a younger offensive mind that perhaps could end up being your future head coach if all went well. I wonder if Cliff A, gets a head coaching gig, or B, goes somewhere he can call plays.
Might be waiting a little bit to find out their OC, because all the guys that we're mentioning for OC, Kafka and Cliff and others, are going to get head coaching interviews. So we got to find out kind of what happens with that circle first before they get to the next one. Next up on What's Trending, local college basketball tonight. Other two teams in action tomorrow, so just KU versus TCU tonight at 8. Our guy Rob Brenton from The Drive was decked out hat and polo.
Yeah, he's got the hat on
as well.
Ready
to go to the Kansas game tonight.
Yeah, he does.
We're going to talk Darren Peterson, I think, coming up at 12:30.
Yeah.
Because it has been a weird situation surrounding that. I mean, that's putting it so mildly.
To say the least.
That's putting it mildly.
He's going to play tonight. He's going to play tonight.
Their home conference.
We just don't know if he's playing 10 minutes, 25 minutes, and then sitting the rest of the game. Is it going to be all in the first half? Is it going to be chunks? It is a minute restriction, but then it's not a minute restriction. It's the most bizarre thing. It really is. All right. Elsewhere on What's Trending, Missouri looks like they found their quarterback for next year. Ole Miss transfer Austin Simmons. He was the starting quarterback to begin the season for Ole Miss. He gets hurt.
He's currently in the college football playoff semifinals.
He gets hurt. Then the D2 transfer, Trinidad Chambliss, of course, rest is history with him. He's been amazing and is, you know, continuing to impress and going up draft boards if he wanted to, based off of what he's doing right now. And Austin Simmons, therefore, is leaving the university. And now he's going to go be the quarterback for the Missouri Tigers. It's a big get. Looks like he'll be the guy for them next year.
I think in the long run, it's pretty clear that Chambliss was always the better quarterback. But there is part of you that's always got to feel good about, like, that was a guy who was supposed to start for a national title contending team, and now he's going to be on your squad. So you got to like that. Lastly on What's Trending, Scott Hansen did say that he will continue to be the host of Red Zone next NFL season. You might remember he was in a contract dispute at some point last year, but he'll be back doing Red Zone.
I think he does a great job for what it is. Does a great job. 7 hours.
Not commercial free.
Of football.
Commercial
with random
football.
10 seconds at a time. 10 second
say,
DraftKings commercials occasionally will all be okay.
7 hours of commercial filled football. Next.
That is What's Trending here on Cody and Gold. Again, Nate Taylor will join us in studio coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll also get to all 32 here in about 8 minutes or so. But I want to talk stadium just briefly here because there was an update on the Kansas side as it relates to the Royals. We all know the Chiefs are going to Kansas, okay? Well, the Kansas Speaker of the House yesterday doubled down on what the reporting was a week ago, which was that, hey, no, the deadline for the Star Bonds was December 31st, 2025. And he said, basically, the deadline's passed. Like, we're done. We're moving on. Quote, "We put an end to it on December 31st. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm going to read the quote. I understand there might be some inaccurate information, okay?
Or at the very least, disputed information.
Okay. But people got mad at me when I read the quote as if I was saying it was a fact. Anyway, quote, "We put an end to it on December 31st, Hawkins said. Believe me, I was not kidding when I said that. We've gotten a speedway that's been paid off. We have the whole Legends area that never would have happened. And look at all the money that has come out of that now." That's the quote from the Kansas House Speaker. We know that the Chiefs are getting a huge chunk of money in public money for their stadium. And it does kind of feel like, Cody, all right, we got the biggest fish in the sea, the Chiefs. We didn't get a deal done by the end of the year. So, yeah, we're fine with just moving on and letting the Royals figure it out on the Missouri side.
So, yes, I think it's pretty clear now that Kansas was flirting with both the entire time. And I'm starting to wonder if part of the reason the Royals deal didn't get done sooner with Kansas or get done with Kansas is Kansas is waiting to see if they could get the bigger fish. That even if the Royals had said, we'll take your money right now and we'll go right here, they still would have been like, whoa, just take your time. We want you to really think about that decision and be careful about the land you buy and everything else. I actually, unlike you and I talking about how originally I thought they created a false deadline, if the Chiefs had been January 15th, they still would have taken them in the sense that they were saying it to put pressure on these teams to make a decision. I think Kansas is telling the truth here. Partially for all the reasons that we know are true about the stadium. That the Star Bond project funneling money to the Chiefs Stadium project is larger than the 23 biggest projects that Kansas operates in any part of the state. This is the single biggest undertaking. The state and that county certainly have undertaken by a billion times. And so it's a huge project. And once you start looking at the money and the financials that go with it, Gold, I actually think it's genuinely hard to make an argument for affording both. I know early Kansas was saying, oh, we can buy both. Yeah, it's an easy thing to say when you're not paying for one. Then the numbers come out and you actually got to foot a bill. It's not so easy to be like, yes, we'll also take the Royals, which puts the Royals. And what I can say is a spot that the Chiefs have screwed them twice. I would hate the Chiefs in this entire stadium thing if I were the Royals. I think they intentionally, and I do think this, I'm not saying it's factual. My opinion is the Chiefs intentionally tanked the first Jackson County vote with a bad plan that they hoped failed so they could take Kansas's money. That screwed the Royals over from getting their deal. And then screw the Royals over again when they were clearly sneaking in and swiping, they were willing to take a deal away from the Royals so that they get the Kansas Stadium and get the money instead of the Royals. So what do the Royals do now? Do they, and Mayor Q yesterday said, we'll put you back in East Village, please. Do they go downtown in Jackson County? Do they find a downtown stadium site? Do they go to Clay County? That's it, right? Am I confused? Those are the only two remaining options on the table, right? Back to downtown baseball or Clay County?
Yeah, they have said they are not building on the Truman Sports Complex site.
That'd be a waste that would of money
be a complete
anyway.
That'd be a complete flip.
They tear down Arrowhead and build a new stadium there.
That'd be
there.
A complete flip. It also makes no sense given what we know what they want to do, which is have development around it. And
they need money from Jackson County said, to tear correct. Down that when they just go downtown. It would make sense.
Yeah. The only part I'll push back on, I agree with you about the renovation plan and how it played out. I don't think we should be critical of them taking the deal in Kansas before the Royals. Once the vote failed, they agreed to go on their separate ways and negotiate on their own.
I'm just
they
saying got it a deal sucks done. If I'm the Royals. And it doesn't make sense. Sure. Football's king.
They got the deal done. The Royals didn't. If in fact this is how it ends up playing out.
Yeah.
So I don't fault them for that. This part of it. I'm with you all around the vote and everything that transpired. There was a lot of reasons, as we know, a couple Aprils ago. I still think the best scenario, and this goes back a couple years, and you and I have been lockstep on this, is downtown baseball. And if this results in downtown baseball, then great. I will be thrilled.
And the Royals and should be thrilled because that's what they actually want.
East Village was plan A. East Village was plan A. And then they had to quickly pivot to another plan. And then we ended up with the Knoll site, 190 the Knoll, which is like, let's be real, is like plan C or D at least, if not F.
Do they, I guess here's the real question is, is that still, like, can they get Jackson County voters to approve? Now, in fairness, it'll actually be, like, as much as it is still a tax, I don't agree, like, sometimes the language is funny. It was a tax Jackson County was already paying. Now, it would be less of a tax than it's been before. So if it's a quarter cent sales tax, are you more in Jackson County voters? Because maybe it only needs to be a quarter cent, not 3/8 of a cent, because the Chiefs are not a part of the financials of this in any way. So for Jackson County, it could be a smaller tax than you were already paying to get the Royals down there. And if Clay County, it would have to be more, obviously, because it's a smaller population.
Yep.
Are you willing to get a team in your county for the first time ever, willing to do what Kansas did, which is give the sweetheart of a deal or agree to pay the tax to do it? If I made you guess right now, over or under, I'll give you two things I want to know. I make you guess right now. Where is the stadium? Mm. Where's the Royal Stadium? If you just had to guess, Gold, they made you guess and they're going to give you $1 million if you guess correctly. I know, man.
Look, so my biggest hang up on what I want to happen, which is downtown baseball, is still the public vote aspect. And I know it depends on who you talk to. There are, if we're being fair, there are some government or politicians, I should say, that will tell you that they don't need a vote. They have a way to do it. And there's others that say it will require a vote. I'll be honest. I don't know who's actually telling the truth. All right. But there's a real chance it requires a vote. Let's just say in Jackson County if they go downtown. And that is that something the Royals, whether we think it's more or less likely that it passes, do they want to go that path? That's the risk they would have to be willing to take, I think, to get downtown baseball, unless there's some other path. And I know the mayor has alluded to a different path, but I don't know how realistic that is.
He just keeps saying it without any kind of detail.
I understand.
To this point, he also said the Chiefs weren't leaving the Friday before they left on a Monday.
Because if it wasn't for the public vote aspect, I would definitively answer downtown baseball. The reason why I still think it's bizarre. Without the Starbonds, though, they're not going to Kansas. And so that it's weird. Like, without a public vote in Missouri, there's Clay County at least. Without Starbonds, there's no Kansas. So,
they're going to get Johnson County to vote on a tax? No, they're going to have to pay. Most of Johnson County is tied up in the Starbond district.
A good chunk of it. Yeah, but the one part on the Starbond district was weird. And I had the minority leader for the Kansas House on the show when you were gone, I think, that Tuesday.
Yeah.
Brendan Woodard. And I asked him, I'm like, hey, the one thing we've noticed about this Starbond district is the part
proposed
that is cut.
Starbond district. Sure. But yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
I guess I'll just be technical.
I hear you.
No reason.
Was cut out was like Overland Park, Leawood, and like that area. Like, what's that for? And but then again, I want to, as we started this whole conversation with, you have the Kansas Speaker of the House saying, "We're done.
We're done.
We're done.
We're out." I look, if you made me right now bet $1 million and it's even money for any of the sites, Clay County with zero confidence, none. I mean, just zero confidence. I'm just guessing at this point. Over under June 1st. You think the Royals say, this is our plan, vote for us, or this is our plan, this is where we're going. I think about how far away this was. Dude, it'll be 2 years since the vote in 4 months.
I think I...
4 months, that's it.
Odds-wise, I would get plus money to take the under. And I would, it'd be minus like 150 that it's over.
In terms of a site or in terms of...
The Royals announcing what their plan is. We'd like you to vote for us in November.
I'm
gonna
say
got
under.
The money without
I'll say May or something like that.
I'll lean under this optimistic. Time now that it seems like the options are getting even more limited because of the fact that the Chiefs have already chosen where they're going.
It should narrow the timeline, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I'll go under as well. With very little confidence. Very little confidence though.
When do you think we'll get the first over under June 1st for the first Chiefs Stadium rendering?
Oh, under. Yeah, okay. Under on that. Yeah, I'll go under on that.
They're reportedly searching out firms, right, and going through that process?
Yeah, my understanding was even before the deal was reached, they had RFPs already out for open-air retractable field, not roof, retractable field type of stuff that went out to different architect firms. They haven't chosen, but my understanding is they already sent out the RFPs before they even had the deal.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, let's get to All 32. All 32 is brought to you by the Sheet Metal Workers Local Number 2. Again, they'll be busy one way or the other, I think, coming up with some projects. Nominate your school for a $20,000 enrichment grant today at 96.5thefan.com. Did you guys see what Russell Wilson had to say the other day? Two things. Number one.
I make it a life effort to not listen to anything Russell Wilson has to say.
number one, Russell Wilson said that prior to the Week 2 game, he tore his hamstring on the last play of practice, did not tell the Giants, played a full game, had his best game of the year in that loss, but best game of the year against the Cowboys.
Game, got benched, right?
Uh-huh, against the Chiefs, and then got benched, and that was the rest of it. So one, just crazy that he played with a torn hamstring, didn't tell anybody, and played great in that game. Two, he said he's not retiring. He wants to play in 2026.
Russ.
All right, Russ. That's fine. I don't think he's retiring either. Nobody's actually going to give him a chance to compete for a starting job in 2026, right?
No.
Could he somehow in a weird way end up in like a backup role or starting a game or two for the Chiefs because of Patrick Mahomes?
I gotta say,
that's scary to think about.
There are veterans who I think make nice backup quarterbacks. Russell Wilson's entire career and energy is the opposite of that. I think he'd make a horrible backup quarterback to a young quarterback. Don't you? I think he'd be awful at that job. Awful. I wouldn't want him anywhere near my young quarterback as the backup. No, thank you.
Yeah, I would not have interest. I think some team will bring him in as a backup, but I don't think
San Francisco or something.
I don't think he's starting a game again unless it is he's the number two and someone gets hurt mid-game and he has to go in. I think that's where we're at in his career.
My answer would be San Francisco goes to backup Brock Purdy. Safe place, secure quarterback. He's been hurt a little bit. Say, you know what? He gets hurt. My guy Kyle Shanahan's going to make me look real good. And maybe I got one more starting job.
I don't think that works anymore at this stage of his career. I think that works if you're a quarterback, you know, 32 or under.
Joe Flacco your way around the league.
I mean Kyle. I'm talking about the Kyle Shanahan part of it. I'm talking about just like the hey, prove yourself again, revitalize your career. He's 37. I mean, it's over.
Someone in his circle. This is, and we all need friends like this. Someone got to tell his ass to hang it up. Russ, it's done. I know we're not friends, and you're probably not listening to this show. Let me help you out. It's over, my guy. You made a lot of money. You've got a lovely family. Quit. It is time. Go find a TV network gig. Coach high school football. Do what you got to do. The NFL playing days, they're done.
Do you think there's like a 5% chance he's the backup next year in Kansas City?
I hope not. God, I hope not. Speaking of mistakes,
you won't have to hear from him.
Speaking of, I know.
Hopefully, I guess.
I'll have to hear from him at training camp. Speaking of mistakes, out of nowhere it hit me, and I realized the team was getting ready to make a tragic mistake, and I want to help them. I can feel it. I can feel it boiling up because stupid teams and bad organizations make bad decisions all the time. And I was thinking about the Cardinals who let go of Jonathan Gannon yesterday after a series of missteps of quarterback and coach and a laughingstock of a franchise that they are. Do you know who they're going to hire as their next head coach? They're going to hire Josh McDaniels. I can feel it.
He's the OC for good now. He's not getting another head coach.
They're going to hire Josh McDaniels, and they're going to tell themselves the other team's got it wrong, and he's our guy. And they're going to bring in some young quarterback and put Josh McDaniels with him. It's all going to be a horrible mistake. You think he's just locked in?
I think yes.
Patriots OC for life.
Yep. He will not be a head coach again. Yep. Mm.
Interesting.
And definitely not after this.
I think he is going to be a head coach this year for the Cardinals.
No,
and it's going to be a horrible.
I don't think
mistake.
He's getting even. He might get a interview. How about that?
We got to talk about on the show if he gets an interview.
Yeah,
because then at least it means some teams are entertaining.
I just think that's finally over, and I think has realized I'm a hell of an offensive coordinator. Why?
I don't know that anybody ever realized that. Not with someone of the ego of Josh McDaniels.
He's had two shots.
Has anyone ever gotten a third shot?
I mean, he technically was hired by the Colts and then said, no, I'm not doing that, so, and then left.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So I guess two and a half.
He's only 49 years old, dude. Someone's going to be like, young guy, offensive, look what he's done with Drake May. I'm telling you right now, next head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, and it's a huge mistake. Josh,
you want to make a wager?
What odds will you give me, I guess? I don't know.
I'll double whatever you get.
Offshore?
Like you get double, like whatever, the either punishment or financial, you would get two times the odds that I would.
This
get.
Is that Josh McDaniels, the coach of the Cardinals, or coaches again, period.
We can do coach period for this. This cycle.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see.
I was like, if you're just giving me all time.
Well, that would be a dumb bet. That'd be a dumb bet on my part. All time forever.
Like, it'd just be really weird for us.
I think you get an interview. In fact, you know, it's he might get like an interview just to talk. Someone said talk to Brady in Vegas or whatever. I don't think they're not going to hire Josh
like
McDaniel.
Brian Flores.
Josh McDaniel was already connected with the Raiders before. What are we talking about?
Yeah, it didn't work out. Yeah. All 32. I believe Tua.
He's already the coach in Vegas. 3 years ago, guys.
My all 32 is about Tua Tagovailoa, and I agree with him actually from the standpoint of he was asked whether he'd like a fresh start after the events of this season. He said that would be dope. I would be good with it. And he confirmed he confirmed with the Miami Herald that he is referring to a fresh start with another team, but did not say he would go as far as to request a trade. I think he's right though that it just makes, and I don't think anybody's taken on his contract, so I think he's kind of stuck there. But it makes sense for Tua and for Mike McDaniel. I think Mike McDaniel would love to have it that way as well, where it would make sense for both parties to move on from each other. But the problem is they might be stuck with each other.
The contract's going to make it really difficult. But for the same reason I mentioned Sam Darnold earlier, Tua is a former top five overall pick.
He was very good, yes.
In the NFL draft and has shown at a couple of stages to be a productive NFL quarterback. Look, I think he might have like two nickels between his ears, and like the issue might just be that sometimes he gets in his own head and makes mistakes. But that was Sam Darnold's thing and the seeing ghost stuff. So you're trying to tell me that if you pair him up with, and here's where you put him. You take him in Minnesota, and you run him in a QB. You say he's the backup for J.J. McCarthy. And if you have to turn it over and you let Kevin O'Connell do a little work with him in an offseason, you say he's the backup the whole time, Drew. Oh, he's the backup. He's the backup. He's not starting here. It's J.J. McCarthy's team. He twists an ankle. And you just let Tua see if he can run shop with Justin Jefferson and some weapons.
I can
weapons.
Mess with that a little bit, actually.
I actually think that it's not the worst plan.
I can mess with that. Plus, you're playing in the dome.
Yeah, you know, neutral field, Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, kind of like the days at Bama. I mean, yeah. I think I could kind of I can vibe with it. It's just does Minnesota take on? I don't know how much more he's got in the contract. Also, the injury issues for me would be the reason I wouldn't. I'd be hesitant to bring Tua in. It's not even from the mistakes that he makes. It's if he gets hurt again, is it going
to
completely
I think that's
backfire?
The contract would have to, you'd have to certainly have some language and protection for you as well as him.
Does anyone think that, like, because the league is a copycat league. I kind of feel like these other teams who are stuck in the situation that the Broncos were are going to do what the Broncos did for at least a couple of years since it worked. And they're just going to eat the contract. They're going to Russell Wilson this thing. And Miami's going to be like, see you later, Tua. I guess it's an $80 million dead cap hit this year. We'll talk to you next time.
I've never tried
sitting around
to drop
on it a couple
good.
Years, not getting you anywhere anyway. They turned it around in 2 years.
Yeah.
Denver's the number one seed in the AFC. They're still paying Russell Wilson money. like they technically have a high-paid quarterback situation despite having a rookie quarterback because they're still giving Russ cash.
Yeah, fortunately for them, they had drafted – while they were dealing with Russ, they actually still were drafting well on the defensive side of the ball. Like,
taking
that
Benito
was the key. Like, while they handed out a terrible contract to Russ – somehow their front office was at least competent to draft
picks,
Pat Surtain and Benito and go on and on for what they were able to do. That's a big reason for it. And then
I was going to say, I'd much rather have two as a backup than Russell Wilson.
What teams?
Oh, obviously. What teams
would take two?
Totally.
Like,
as a starter or compete? To compete as a starter?
Jets? Vikings?
To compete?
Is Aaron Rodgers retiring? Yeah, Steelers are going to have to start somebody else again.
Everybody thinks Kyler's going to the Steelers, but I don't know.
Arizona? I mean... I don't know if you take two. I mean,
Tua will have
Kyler.
An opportunity to be a starter again. And I think, by the way, he deserves another opportunity. On the right contract, he totally deserves an opportunity to be a starter again.
I think it can work. I mean, I think, like you said, Cody, he's played relatively well in moments where you're like, yeah, okay, it makes sense that he was picked where he was.
The only question I have with him is this is how much you believe in Mike McDaniel, because he looked good, but also how much was that just all schemed up by Mike McDaniel?
So let's list the teams who could need a quarterback hypothetically. Arizona and Miami are two for sure. Mm-hmm. Vegas.
Yep.
Rams.
Vegas, though, is just going to draft one overall.
But Rams.
It depends if Stafford retires.
Right. That's at least possible. Yeah. Pittsburgh, if he retires. Jets for sure. Not the Giants. Saints.
No,
Shuck actually is playing.
I actually think he played well enough where they'll roll the dice for another year with him.
Cleveland for sure. Indy? Do you bring in a guy like Tua because you don't know when Daniel Jones will be back?
I think Daniel Jones will be the starter next year, week one, for the Colts.
Okay. Just he had the season.
I think Riley Leonard also showed them enough where they wouldn't even mess with Tua at all in any capacity.
He put up 30 against the Texans.
He did. That's impressive, man. So, I mean, it's five or six teams.
The Rams would be really interesting, too, for the same reason.
Yeah, someone's right. Tua can't play in cold weather cities, though. I can't sign up.
Which is why Minnesota stands out the most out of all the other ones.
Minnesota, sure, for eight of your games, but they go to Chicago and Green Bay every year.
Chicago's getting ready to build an indoor stadium.
That's
It'll
true.
Take five
that's
years.
True. Yeah.
that won't be outdoors for long.
You have to withstand it for maybe four or five games.
The next quarterback who doesn't like cold weather wants to worry about it long. We're down to very few outdoor stadiums. Chiefs aren't even going to be on the list.
That is all 32 here on Cody and Gold. Up next, let's talk a little college basketball. The story continues to get more complicated around Darren Peterson and the Jayhawks. They have a game tonight. You want to hear what Bill Self had to say on Saturday when they lost about why Darren Peterson played as much as he did in the first half and then not at all really in the second half, and what it means for tonight and moving forward. Coming up in a half hour, Nate Taylor from ESPN going to join us in studio.
Ask him if he thinks Cliff Kingsbury would be a good fit.
Yeah, I want to ask him about the news that Cliff is out as OC in D.C. Would he fit in Kansas City? Do you think he'd be interested? If not, is it Mike Kafka? Is there a surprise name? We'll get into that. We'll also briefly, we got, 100 some odd days, but we'll briefly get Nate's early thought on picking ninth overall for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's coming up in a bit. You guys can always interact with us on a nice Tuesday in Kansas City, 913-586-7965. Video stream up and running as well on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, X. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan.
I think you pointed out quite a bit different weather-wise than just 1 year ago today.
Yeah, we were looking at this today. A year ago, we were just on the heels of the two-day massive snowstorm. It was, I think, came in on like a Sunday night, and then we couldn't get to work on Monday. We couldn't get to the building. So we were off randomly on a Monday or Tuesday because the roads were not treated or anything yet or plowed. And then here we are, and it's like 55, 60 degrees.
I'll take this.
Maybe we're going to pay for it in February, and we're just going to get hammered. I don't know. Right now, the next like 15-day forecast, it looks still pretty decent. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe take the kids to the park or something.
I'll prolong the
fridge. It's 60 degrees tomorrow.
Like, I'll prolong as long as possible, even if it means a brutal March. If you tell me I got to wait another month before we have 10 days in a row where the high is 15 degrees, I'm all for it.
I got to say, it took a lot of selling to get my youngest kid out of the door to go to school today. The oldest daughter, she was just excited to see some friends, hadn't seen him in a while, said she missed him, was at least excited about the social aspect of it, like, all right, my friends, my people, I'll be back. Desmond, did not want to go to school. Matter of fact, he started to say, how can we make Monday longer? I was like, make it feel longer? Like, you want to go do something, extend the break a little bit, make it feel, he's like, no, just make it longer. How can we add hours into this day to extend time so that I don't have to go back for longer? I'm like, well, that's not a thing. We just can't do that. And so you're just going to have to go, I think.
Do you feel, now this is, a random question, by the way, is coming up in 8 minutes. So do you think as you get older and we get older, don't you feel like time actually goes by way quicker now, not slower? Ooh. Like as a kid, you thought it went by quick, but no, I swear every month, every year goes by quicker now.
Yeah, probably. Yeah I would say that's probably accurate.
That's where I'm at.
I don't remember, like as a kid, it's even hard to remember because you're just always like doing stuff and having fun or whatever. But I will say,
next thing you wake up and it's 2026.
Summer always flew by faster just because you don't, Sure. But yeah, I think for the most part, you don't keep track of it as much, maybe. I don't know, man.
The kids also age me quick because you're just like, because I told you, my daughter got like her ears pierced and she had her little she had headphones in, listened to her music. And I was like, oh God, she just like feels so much older. I don't like this. So that part, yeah.
She like the iPod?
It's essentially that. It's not called. It's a different brand. But
whatever.
But essentially, it's just an MP3 player. She
loves
it. She can put 1,000 songs on it. Nice. She has it on all the time. Now, she listens to a lot of music anyway, like on an Alexa speaker. Mm-hmm. But now she can listen to it kind of everywhere she goes, which she is very much a fan of. But you had mentioned tonight, Kansas will open their conference play at home against TCU, and Darren Peterson is expected to play. But I know you went to Kansas. You're a lifelong Kansas fan. Every Kansas fan I talk to seems so either confused or
bizarre.
Just say mad about whatever the hell is going on with Darren Peterson. Part of it has got to be the mixed messaging, because I can't tell you any given night if Peterson's playing, how much he's playing, what his actual injuries are, and how serious they are, and minutes and everything else. Like, they have thrown so much confusion onto this. I think it's actively hurting his likability.
For sure. Yeah.
And the team.
The messaging with Darren Peterson and what's made it so complicated is definitely led to more frustration toward him and anger, I think, from fans, just to fill people in. So what happened on Saturday, Kansas was at UCF, Big 12 opener. They lost the game 81-75. The first half, Darren Peterson played, he was amazing. He finished with 23 minutes, 26 points. I mean, he looked every bit like the guy we all heard about, number one overall pick, potential.
Yeah, when he's on the court, he looks
of that.
Good.
Okay, so you have that, and then he basically doesn't play the rest of the game, the second half.
And a game that they lost, it was close, within 4 or 5 points.
Correct. And despite him scoring 26 points, they were better in the second half and moments when he wasn't on the floor. It's been bizarre because they can't get the continuity together. Then after the game, this is what Bill Self said, which caused it to be way more confusing.
I want him, we doctors, everybody wanted to be on a minute restriction the first half. It was hard to do when Mel's got fouls and El Marco's knees hurt. So we didn't really have anybody to put in there. And, you know, obviously he kept us in there the first half, getting 23 and a half. And the second half, I thought he started out fine, and then it started bothering him, obviously. But the thing about it is we knew, we expected something like that to happen. But, you know, we were hoping that it would be a situation in which I could control it a little bit better by minimizing his minutes in the first half.
So there, this is on Saturday, he's talking about minute restriction, minimizing it, and then your reaction would be naturally, well, then why did you play him so much in the first half if he was on a minute restriction? That makes no
sense.
Shouldn't
you want him for the, and this is just a hypothetical, most important end of game moments? And like, so, even when it's close, why not get him in there in the under four or something?
So that's the obvious reaction Saturday. Then yesterday, Bill Self had media availability, and I'll just read a little bit of the statement. This is just a quote from his media availability. He was asked again about how they're going to approach Darren Peterson's minutes moving forward. And tonight they play TCU. Quote, well, you know, I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. I said minutes restriction. That minute restriction is there's no guarantee. There's not medical evidence saying only playing this much or playing him that much or anything like that. The one thing I would say playing him less in the first half is something that we haven't done. So if we haven't done it, would that possibly impact the second half? So I don't know, but I'll wait and see how he feels. He felt really, really good the other day and played obviously pretty well in the first half, but the second half, after the first TV timeout, he needed to come out. And then sub him in, and he makes 3 in 15 seconds, needed to come out too. So
it's admittedly,
it's so frustrating.
This is why we're confused, and this is where the frustration is at, and why there's so much speculation about it, you know, what's the injury? Is there family involvement? If they're not involvement? I saw there was an audio, I think it was John Henson, the former North Carolina Tar Heel, who does stuff for Field of 68. And he was saying that he dealt with soft tissue injuries, and he's convinced that like he'll never, like he's never going to be healthy this year, and that he needs to just be sat down for the rest of the year. That's what a former college basketball player is saying about Darren Peterson.
I have told you from the beginning. Chance to get Darren Peterson.
Exactly.
He's going to be an NBA pick.
So I am
high.
I'm sick of it, and I'm frustrated as well. I still will say this, and I think it's wrong, and this is where the messaging has hurt Darren Peterson, as frustrated as fans are. He's not faking an injury. I'm sorry. I still push back on that. I do not think he's not hurt.
But yeah,
I do
think he's been verified.
No, I think
right,
for sure.
Like,
but
he's clearly hurt.
We're beyond that.
But also,
I think
he's
playing the long game because he's a future top five NBA pick.
Yes.
Is that
and he's
where
not
the family
trying
comes
to actively
in,
impact. Yes, of course it does.
I don't know if it's is it Darren, though, or is it the family? Because
I mean, that's
if it were
know,
if it were up to Darren, I think if you're a basketball player and you're of that ilk, I think you want to play.
Here's
if it were up to Darren Peterson, I think he would play in that game. I think he would say, Coach, you don't even need to restrict my minutes at all, like if that is what it is or whatever.
But like at one point, Bill Self made it seem like it was coming from Darren Peterson's camp.
Exactly.
That he wasn't getting out on the court. And that, again,
it's what
goes,
it seems like.
Goes back to the confusion. Look, this is the biggest problem, too, because here's the truth. I've watched Kansas play a couple times this year, and I think at this point we probably all come to understand this. Kansas, with Darren Peterson playing on the court for 30 minutes, is a national title contending team. Kansas without Darren Peterson is not. And they can't get either version of a national title contending team with Darren Peterson playing sometimes and not playing others because their flow as a basketball team, when I watch them right now, has no rhythm because sometimes they have Peterson and sometimes they don't. And they don't seem like they have any flow to the entire
team.
That's
what we talked about back in November when the season started is when you hit conference play. And I guess even now, let's say in March, they make the tournament, and this is still happening in March. That's where I would be very concerned. If Bill Self is still after a presser, like let's say they're a 7 and they beat the 10. They find a way to beat the 10, but Darren doesn't play the last 5 minutes of the game. Then I think you have a valid question to ask. Is this Bill Self's decision-making, or is he getting controlled here a little bit?
Yeah, so I think the issue that they're in right now is, yes, I'm 100% with you, Cody. We've said it. They cannot get to a Final Four without Darren Peterson. Fact.
He's such a good player.
But right now, because they cannot gel as a team, they are worse when he's on the floor. So it's this
plus minus is bad.
It is this bizarre, really bad spot that they're in. And NIL absolutely is complicated matters. This day and age of basketball is complicated matters. He does have a real injury, but
I do think you're allowed to be more critical now that they're paid employees.
Yeah, 100%. You can be far more critical of any college athlete now that we're talking about hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars that some of these guys, not all, some of them are making. And so like tonight, he's going to play tonight. And I'm fascinated
when?
To see how
For
it
how much?
plays out. My guess is he's going to all of a sudden end up on the bench with a Theragun in his hand, working out cramps again or soft tissue injury again. That's what's happened every time. So why would I think it's any different tonight?
I still really think that the it wouldn't necessarily be solved. And I know that it would hurt college basketball technically, but you, even without name, image, and likeness, let's say there was no NIL, yep, but Darren Peterson knew he had to go to school for 1 year before going to the NBA, mm-hmm, and he was dealing with this issue. I don't know if it would be any different whether NIL existed or not from the standpoint of his parents and him being like, well, this is my future, and I know, and I'm not making any money now, but I know I can make money there. Now that they're making money, maybe you convince yourself you should be playing through it, or whatever the case is.
At what point does I just wish the NBA...
That's where the NBA should get rid of the you have to go to the one and done thing. And if Darren Peterson goes to the NBA, good for him.
But look at, like,
and you should have to go 2 years.
Look at some of the other top guys. And I don't know ultimately who's going to be the number one overall pick. Some people think it's Peterson. It could be DeBance or whatever over at BYU. He's playing every game. Now, he's not hurt, right? So I was like,
exactly.
Well, I guess for everybody saying, like, oh, it's just because he's the number one pick. Yes, but also, what if DeBance all of a sudden, and I hope this doesn't happen to him, he's been playing great. Let's say all of a sudden he's got a little hammy, and all of a sudden we're talking for the next 3 weeks. You don't think that he possibly is going to have some restrictions? Like, it's just Kansas, unfortunately, has got the guy that is hurt, and it's the balance. And I know it's very easy, and I'm right there with you guys, to be like, well, then just play through it. But it's way more complicated than that. And it puts Kansas, though, in a terrible spot. And Bill Self is not going to come out and crush the kid or the family, one, because it's not how he operates. Two, it'll impact you getting the top recruits in the future. You can't badmouth the kid.
No,
that does not do anybody any good. And so they're just in this bizarre spot. And thank goodness Melvin Council Jr. has been Melvin Council. Otherwise, they're ranked 22nd right now. Without him, they'd have two or three more losses.
They're 18 right now in KenPom. So, I mean, the advanced numbers.
Someone says Cooper Flagg played all last year. If any of these, again, DeBansa this year, if all of a sudden he had a hamstring injury, I bet you all of a sudden he's not playing. I don't know what he's playing now, guys. Averaging 30 minutes. I have no idea what 35 minutes. I have no idea what he's playing for BYU. But that's the complicated part. This isn't just like if Darren Peters was 100% healthy, we're not even talking about this.
Yeah, he would be playing. I think
we're not even talking
about
it.
And I don't know if people, I don't know if to your point, Gold, I don't know if people still think that he's faking the injury or whatever the case is, why you're texting that in, but the man is dealing with a hamstring issue, and it's a soft tissue problem that other players are saying he probably is going to be dealing with this throughout the season. So this is something that they're going to have to deal with. I think this is just reality for them.
I'm treating this more like how I would treat a professional in the same way. If a professional NBA player like LeBron had a hamstring issue and they were on a minutes restriction, this would not be weird.
Yeah.
But if it's the playoffs, if it's the Big 12 tournament or the NCAA tournament, no more minutes off.
That's where it's going to be interesting to see.
We're trying to win things. You don't get to take time off then.
Yeah.
Now, that's very different, and that's way far away from there. I did look it up for whatever reason, but DeBance is playing around 32 minutes again.
Yeah, and he's healthy, and he should. And Darren Peterson would be playing that many minutes if he was healthy as well. It's just, someone said, nobody should be allowed to enter.
I hate to tell you this. You'd be disappointed at the amount of people who don't graduate.
Yeah, someone from the 620 texted in and said, no one should be allowed to enter any pro sports draft without graduating college.
Baseball and basketball players, not only, you'd be disappointed.
Not only is that not how it works, and you're just saying that's how it should work, I would say this goes back to, I understand that this is, you're going to say it's not apples to apples, but it's no different. If Cody was going back to his college days, and he had an opportunity to go be at the top of whatever field it is.
Go program in Silicon Valley.
But he didn't get his degree. You think he should be prevented? Because it's the same thing. It'd be the same restriction. So I disagree with that.
Collar jobs
if you're at
else?
The top, yeah. If you have an opportunity to be at the top of your game, we're not talking about sports in this circumstance, and get paid X amount of money, and someone wants to hire you, you should be able to make the choice whether or not you finish college or not. Same thing with these players. So I have no problem with somebody not finishing college if they're a college athlete. That's just, we don't prevent random undergrad student that suddenly gets an opportunity. I know it's very rare, but suddenly gets an opportunity to go make a ton of money right now. We don't say he can't leave college.
I just wish, it's really small, but I wish the NBA, and the NBA is doing it to protect themselves, so whatever, but I wish the NBA would just say anybody can enter the draft, and if teams want to draft them, they're taking their own risks, so be it.
Yes.
And then if you went to college, you had to go for 2 years.
It would help out both sports, believe it or not.
You have to go for... Well, and the NBA should like that, because that means a college player is developing for two full seasons, and it will be a small, and I do mean small, handful of players every year who come straight out of high school and get drafted. It is the Cooper Flags, Darren Petersons, it is 2, 3, 4 players a year, maybe, who NBA teams will take a chance on without going there. And for everyone else who's not going to get drafted, they got to spend 2 years at Duke.
Yes.
They got to spend 2 years at Kansas. They got to spend 2 years at North Carolina.
And I think it would help also. Now, not that Darren Peterson doesn't, his name doesn't ring significantly in KU right now, but having players for 2 years at a place, there's more name recognition within the sport. And I think fans will be able to appreciate those players a little bit more.
As we,
as well.
Sorry, can I address one more text? Because it's pretty funny. I think someone thought they were cooking with this text. Someone texted in, said, name me one Harvard or Stanford dropout that's now a billionaire. Oh, I don't know. Mark Zuckerberg. I don't know. There's one real quickly. All right, let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
What site does he run? I'm not familiar.
There's a site called Facebook. Mark There's some Zuckerberg. Site called Facebook
and
that he started.
Billions of dollars.
Literally, like the most obvious example of somebody that dropped out from Harvard. Anyway, what are we talking
about?
Yeah,
is Mark Zuckerberg
just a little
rich?
Bit? Just a little bit. Anyway,
look, it happens for you, Gold. For you, Drew. On the text line 913-586-7965. Of course, a random question today. Is brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. Earlier today, you played a clip of Snoop Dogg. He was on the broadcast for an NBA game last night, just kind of, like, I don't know, randomly. And he was on there with Reggie Miller, and they were all having a good time. We can play a clip of it here in just a second. But the question I have for you today is, do you enjoy, and this is very simple, do you enjoy when they have non-broadcasters on broadcasts? So do you like when it's Snoop Dogg's on the broadcast? Here comes Martha Stewart, because they were pals for a while and doing this for a little while. But whether it be the Olympics, the NBA, the NFL, do you like when
Eminem was on a college broadcast? Yeah.
Do you like when non-broadcasters enter the booth and become a part of the broadcast? Here's an example.
Back him up, GP. Back him up, Steve Ray.
He's already gone.
Steve banging Inglewood right now. Inglewood, get him, Steve. You and Inglewood, Steve. The Arizona Wildcat that came out and look at him.
So that was Snoop last night, Clippers Warriors. To answer your question, there is a caveat for this, though.
Ooh, okay. Like, enjoy the entertaining part of it?
No, here's the caveat. Last night, random NBA game. There's 82 of them or whatever it is. I'm good with that, right? I don't want it. Like, I don't want that during the Super Bowl. On the main broadcast.
You don't want it during divisional round
weekend. There's 162 baseball games. By all means, mess around on as many,
Paul Rudd pops in for 30 minutes.
I don't want it, though.
Like, you don't care.
Like, for Sunday Night Football, Baltimore and Pittsburgh to decide who's winning the AFC North. And by the way, Snoop is a huge Steelers fan. I would not have wanted Snoop on the main broadcast the entire game with Mike Tirico. Because as great as the call was with a field goal, Snoop might have ruined the iconic, what turned out to be, I think, an iconic call for Mike Tirico. Yeah. So, yes, I love the celebrity and the entertainment part. For it makes, when we have this huge inventory of games, by all means. But I don't want it in the AFC title game. I don't want Snoop or Eminem throughout the entire broadcast. I guess a separate channel. If you want that, you can go find it. But not on the main broadcast.
Kind of like that coach's broadcast they always do for like the college football playoff thing. I will say, I enjoy, and this is probably from a lifetime of consuming it, I enjoy a traditional sports broadcast, right? Play-by-play guy, color guy, and the quality of it. Because, like, look, we just got that last, I don't remember the name of the play-by-play guy for the Chiefs game. And this is not like...
For what now?
He's got some work to do in order... Chris Lewis.
I worked with him in Boise.
Wait, you worked with Chris Lewis?
Yeah. He was at...
Was he nice?
Yeah, nice. We were both very young at the time. Nice kid. And he called some Boise State games when I was there, and actually was on the other radio station in town at the time. And he does a lot of college football for CBS. And he only calls like two NFL games a year. He's still, I think.
That's how far down we were in the broadcast ladder for that Chiefs game on Sunday.
They got a crew who doesn't even
call games. They just get their one opportunity
he's
to
my
call
age.
A game.
He's my age. He's 34.
Okay. Well, good for him. He's climbing up the ladder.
Yeah.
But I guess for me, it's like a step away. Like, there's times in which I feel like it's always mood dependent. I don't mind it sometimes, but there are times that even in a bad game, I'm like, I don't need this. Like, for instance, my biggest complaint, I think, about the broadcast on Sunday for the Chiefs. Those are real broadcasters, not even like Snoop coming in. My biggest complaint is they kept trying to make it seem like this was an important game and they should have stopped it. At any stage, they're like, what a play. That third down is important. And you're like, it's not. And we don't have to pretend it is. We don't like
to Zach Taylor. It is
what I like what I like about when guys like Snoop come in is these side broadcasters never treat it like this is the most important thing that's ever happened. And sometimes sports aren't. That Chiefs game on Sunday was not important. And they were talking about it like, what a field goal setup. They were talking like in first downs, like what an important first down before the half. It's not. None of this matters. And it's
I think that's a tough spot. What are you wanting
them
to do?
They can be excited for a play
CBS
call.
CBS has the NFL rights for...
They could think this game mattered for both teams. It did not.
It specifically did not matter for one.
It mostly didn't matter for the other.
Yeah, saying the game mattered is different than what you were saying, which is like still acknowledging that that was a big third down conversion. Like they're still calling a game. Like they can't just be like, well, they got a third down. Not that it really matters. Like they're not going to say that in the broadcast.
They were trying to make, for Chris Lewis, he has to act like it.
Yes, he does.
This is where I like the side broadcast. I don't think he does. I think we could be honest about the position.
If he wants to make it,
he can be excited about the play call. Wow, what a catch. That's fine. But when he spent the entire 60 minutes trying to make it seem like any of this matters, as in like, what a play. This could decide the future of whoever.
Then we need to get Kevin Harlan off of preseason games then. He didn't need to be doing preseason Packers games then, getting excited.
Kevin Harlan calls birds when they get on the field. He does not treat it like that. You're acting like Kevin Harlan doesn't make...
Kevin Harlan gets excited for big catches in the preseason. He didn't need to be doing that then.
Big catches are fine. I already said that. You're already ignoring the part I'm talking about. They were actively creating a narrative that this game was of importance and the results mattered and they mattered for these teams and there were things at play for both teams, which was objectively not true. Saying that's a great run, you know, getting excited for those things, I'm accepting of that. But that's, again, what I like about the side broadcast is that I like that it can take away some of the, like, it is still sports. It's not all serious. We don't have to treat it all that serious. Every play is not Gus Johnson calling a game-winning three. Like, we can find a middle ground for some portions of it. They were truly trying to make it seem like that game mattered.
Yeah.
This game matters for these teams. The Raiders won't be winless at Allegiant against the Chiefs anymore.
Up next, Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, going to join us in studio. We'll ask him about the news that Cliff Kingsbury is no longer the OC in Washington. So what does that mean for his future? Could it result in him coming to Kansas City? What about Matt Nagy? Plus, the Chiefs are picking 9th overall. We got 100-plus days to discuss it. We'll start the conversation with Nate next.